Matters with certified financial planner Dave Pezzo. Money Matters is brought to you by Pezzo Financial Consultants. Their team of certified financial planners have been educating their clients to build confidence and find peace with their money for over 35 years. Also by Michelle Oliver of Finance of America Mortgage, lending products for all the stages of your financial life. By HH & Associates Accounting, we aren't just accountants, we provide solutions. By Mountain West Bank, your community bank, with 8 branches in the Treasure Valley. Now, here's Dave Pezzo on KIDO Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. I'm Dave Pezzo. Every week I go in and visit with Kevin Miller and have an absolute blast. It's about 30 minutes every Monday. We're going to go ahead and replay that, and I'll be talking to you live in about 30 minutes.
And blessed to be part of your day. So Dave Pezzo, we were even talking about you when you weren't around here. So
apparently.
I used that for the clip.
Yeah. You can edit anything, can't you?
Well, no, that was really the context of what we were talking about. We were looking at the president perhaps trying to privatize the air traffic controllers, which harkens me back to a conversation that you and I have all the time, whether it's not about the Chinese or the real estate or the market crashing. It is about, the issue of what is good government.
Right.
And did I misquote you at all?
Well, pretty much. No, that's true. You're right. All government is too big.
So when you take a look at that, when you take a look at the air traffic controllers, of course, people go back to what happened with President Reagan and everything else. Would you be in favor of privatizing the air traffic controllers?
Oh, without a doubt. Obviously, it has to be done well. It has to be done correctly. But the idea that we can't do this in a more efficient way is crazy. Of course, private sector always does things better.
Yeah, like how they treat customers.
Exactly.
When they're not giving them the beat down and everything else.
Correct. So, no, it was. I have a quick story to share with you if you're up for it. Are you up for it?
You know, Dave Pezzo, that is our time together. It's time for some stories. In fact, we should just rename this show Storytime.
Storytime.
Yes.
I like it. So guess where I was yesterday? Okay, you can't possibly know, but I was in Austin.
Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas, which is home of the LBJ Library.
Lyndon Baines Johnson, not LeBron James.
That is correct. I'm sure LeBron will have a library as well, but it was fascinating going through the it just is.
The presidential library,
that history that even though I was very young at the time, it still at least is, it's part of your life, but it's
not
still
too, not very young.
Yeah, it was, thanks, Kevin. But it was really amazing, the whole civil rights, the whole 60s and upheaval, all of that stuff, and of course the Great Society. Pretty amazing legacy, actually.
Wait a minute, we don't think
about it a lot.
You're talking about one of the biggest expansions of government.
Correct.
Since the New Deal, and you're admiring this. You're admiring the expansion of government. Now, let me ask you, Dave Pezzo, what have you been drinking in the water down there?
Exactly.
In Texas?
Yeah. I know.
What's in the barbecue?
And that was exactly what brought it up, Kevin, was that discussion of the, too much government, too big, way too big. But it was amazing. It was like this one guy pushing all this stuff through. It was really an astounding achievement, I have to say. I'm not happy about all of these expanded programs, but it certainly was his cause was all correct. I mean, in the standpoint that people that were poor and didn't have even appropriate schooling and things like that. These were important programs for them.
Government did do something good.
Government is good. Always attempts to try to do something good. All of these things happen for a good cause, right? And it was a good cause. The problem is by the structure of government, it gets bigger and bigger, and it becomes less and less effective until it really reaches a point where all it is obstructive. It's obstructive to everything. We don't have better education because we have more government. We have worse education because we have more government. We have more bureaucrats standing around pushing papers around than we are actually teaching. Think of how much we advance in everything in the world, but education isn't getting any better. And so it is one of those things. I know the kids are smart and all, but we should be so far ahead in everything. And I think that's because government just slows it all down. The idea, though, I was simply admiring this guy's vision.
You sound very defensive to me. Today. Maybe because you're here on a Thursday and not on a Monday.
Yeah, well, the people over at Channel 7 are a little nicer, and they weren't there to give me a nice start to the day.
Wow. Well, No Maggie.
That's right.
That's how it works. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So shall we begin?
Fire away.
All right. The other day I was at my my friend's place, Computer Central at the Boise Tech Mall, owned by our great friend Phil, who listens all the time. And Phil has the only Bitcoin ATM in the state.
Interesting.
And now you can do Bitcoin and you can do another one. And he was telling me about cryptocurrency and how it's the future. And I said, well, I can't wait to talk to Dave Petzl about this, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, Glenn Beck and Pat and Stu are going back and forth saying that they believe that Bitcoin is worthless. And Beck went in when it was 1,300, and now it's up to 3,000 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in the 2 hours that we were there, Bitcoin went from, you know, it increased in value, $70.
Yeah.
And how it works is, I mean, you can put money in, you can electronically, and then you can have a debit card or what have you, and it's blowing up. Now, I'm not going to tip off what I feel about this. I want to give the entire floor to you, the big promoter of gold and everything else. Your thoughts on Bitcoin.
Kevin, it's difficult. First of all, let me separate the technology, which is amazing. Okay, this chain link or whatever it is. That's not what it's called, but it's something like that. And that technology is going to enable all of us, especially, if you will, us Joes out there.
Many believe it's the future. Many believe we will all go to cryptocurrency.
Absolutely.
Of course, a lot of us didn't believe we'd go to credit cards.
Correct, correct. And it'll take time, and it will take a lot of time. But here's why it's a huge problem. Well, let me back up. The technology is amazing because you can't break it. It's not a...
Well, that's what they say. Macy's said that, too.
Yeah, well...
Best Buy said that, too. The government said that, too.
Bitcoin has been laying out there for letting people hack at it for a long time. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I withdraw my statements. This is back to you. Back to you, your uncensored, objective thoughts on Bitcoin.
Okay. And then the other thing is it can go bye-bye because it's not regulated. They've had a huge problem with one of their big vendors just poof, went away. And so all the people that had their Bitcoin there, it was gone. So all of that, it's just because there's not any regulation in this area. It's awful hard to police it. You know, you're not going to be able to call
government. Oh, whoops!
Now wait a minute, Kevin. That's not fair. I've always said that government's there to police. That's what they're there for. Now, on the other hand, is it real? I don't think it's real. So it's not real.
I hear you talk about this all the time on your show.
Not Petcoin?
Whoops. I withdraw once again. Why not Petcoin?
Right. So everybody can make up their own. But the technology is separate from this idea of Bitcoin. So why is Bitcoin going and why do people think there's value there more than they do any other cryptocurrency? And the answer is it's the one and only, and we've got enough hot spots in the world. If you're in Venezuela and you want to take your money or your millions of dollars out before the government confiscates it, or you're part of the government right now and you want to get it out of the country before unknown. It's not traceable. It's completely secret. It's how the crooks move money everywhere. It's how people in China get money offshore because it's too hard to carry gold and they can take the rest of your money away. So when you have all of these spots around the world where people are making gobs of money legally or illegally, and you're always afraid of the government stealing from them, then why not use Bitcoin? So I think that's why it's rallying as much as anything else, is because we've got a lot of hot spots in the world. And how am I going to move my money offshore, away from the tax authorities, away from any tracing, and get it over there to somewhere else so that if they do decide they're going to take my money away or throw me out of the country, then I have it. So I think that's a big part of why it's been rallying lately.
So is that something that you would recommend?
No. No, how can I recommend something I don't have any fundamental belief in? There's nobody that says that this has any value except you and I look at it and go, you know, you can have a nice green shirt on today. Tomorrow we decide that green shirts are the real deal.
Dave Petzl with us, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So let's get back to the question, why in the world am I watching something?
Yep.
And we had a lot of our astute salespeople. And you know those folks, They're really bright. They were watching this, and they watched it go up and up and up. Now, how do you attribute that, that all of a sudden something that is crypto that isn't real is going up $70 in 2 hours?
I know. It is. No, I'm saying I think that it has a lot to do with people moving currency. It's also a momentum trade. More people get excited, and so as things go up, it's not going to go to 3,000. You'll hear people talk about it. It's going to go to 4. It's going to go to 5. No, it's going to go to 10. Are you kidding me? It's like watching the commercials on TV, right? You know, I think silver could go to $200 this year. Okay, whatever. Just make a number up. Why not 150?
And let me hit you with this one. We have a young man. His name is Matt Middleton, a very nice young man, very astute. We love him dearly, who believes in silver.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on silver and gold then? I know you're not very high on it, but people have this belief that if something goes down, they're going to have this thing of value.
You know, and Kevin, I do understand that, but I understand that there's this feeling you have value. But I'm not sure that what we're trying to do when you are, if you will, managing or investing money is you're trying to hold value. I think you're trying to increase value. I think you're trying to increase wealth and security. And so when you see something like gold that goes up by the rate of inflation for the last 200 years, why am I interested? And silver goes running up to $50 and then it crashes. I mean, I guess it did that one time because of the Hunt brothers. But I don't know why there's any fundamental reason that silver is going to go to the moon. Why? I mean, show me a chart, show me graphs, show me this kind of stuff. It just doesn't. But the reality is none of that ever happened. So silver, in fact, I think is probably even a worse idea than gold because it's just a poor man's gold. And there's so much silver in the world that it just doesn't. It doesn't have the characteristic that gold does, which is to, if you will, to maintain value, wealth, be able to transport it from one spot to the other.
Our great friend Dave Petzl with us, the Petzl Center, Petzl Financial, host of Money Matters for over 50 years here at KIDA Talk Radio. Is it over 30?
Yes,
how many? 25?
It is over 30. Yeah.
Over 30.
Mm-hmm.
And really, nothing is really, the decor in this room really hasn't changed much except for the massive Kevin Miller posters everywhere.
There are, and they are. They are massive. They're wonderful. You know, I still like the one right in the middle there.
The turkey. Or no, the Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson, yeah, that's a great quote. Yes.
And some of us get punched in the face repeatedly. All right, more coming up. News about your money next on KIDO Talk Radio.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzl on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzl, KIDO.
Our great friend Dave Petzl with us, the Petzl Center, Petzl Financial. You have a preview of Saturday's show yet? Just around the corner. You don't want to.
Do I have a preview?
You don't want to tip us off?
No. Well, I will tell you a little bit about it. But I was in a conference in Austin. I wasn't checking out big government.
How many times are you going to say that you were in Austin? Okay, you were in Austin. You know what I was doing? I was here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of where I went.
Like when?
Yeah, no, I went to I've gone to Star in here in Meridian.
I only mentioned Austin twice. It's the second time. So because I was there at a conference,
not that I'm sensitive or defensive.
Apparently not. Yeah, apparently not. But I was at a conference and it was like this speed dating conference of money managers. You go in and you spend 30 minutes with all these money managers.
Guys or girls?
There was one.
You were speed dating with girls or guys?
Guys, money managers. It's like 30 minutes you have with each one.
That's what they call it now.
We do. Because that's all I can liken it to is you spend 30 minutes with this guy, you walk to the next table, and you go to another one. So you set this up for 2 days, you're going into this. I'm going to talk a lot about that because there was so much data flowing around for 2 days. It was crazy.
Yeah, but was it relevant or was it frivolous?
No, this was. I'm going to do this again. This was very. There were definitely frivolous elements to it.
Sure.
The cigars and whiskey after hours were frivolous.
I wouldn't know anything about that. So it sounds like a tough job.
Yeah. You see the bags under these eyes?
not like your beloved Reno, though.
No.
Not like your beloved Reno. No. All right. Back to business here at KIDO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM, 580 AM. The X Games coming to town. Over by the park under the bridge where
they've got my office.
Right near the Petzl Center. I don't know if ESPN has contacted you to do some color commentary or anything.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
But they got rid of all the regular folks that live there. And now all of a sudden, you know, this is a very, very big deal for the area. It's going to bring in a lot of revenue. And it's interesting that, you know, they're talking about beer sales going up, skateboard sales going up. And did you ever think that Boise, Idaho would be featured on the X Games, kind of like a skater town, if you will?
I know. I was amazed. And I heard about this because they sent out, you know, that we're going to impact your, you know, the area where the cars, you know, travel, the traffic around the area. So I knew they were coming, but I think it's really exciting. This is quite a deal. It really is.
Now, I'm wondering if they're going to carry it on ESPN. I see that it's going to be there. You've got autograph signings and everything else. And, you know, it's kind of like the new economy when you think about this, that people are so into skating and gaming and this type of things that, you know, 10 years from now, that's going to be the norm, like what we grew up with watching television. This is what these kids do.
It is. It's true. You know, everything is, you know, it's moving so quickly, Kevin. It really is. This is interesting. These kids are really athletic, and, I mean, they're talented. There's no question about it, the stuff they can do. But it is amazing what they did with this little park under the bridge and turned it into something that ESPN's coming to.
It's not very big.
No, it's not a huge park, but it's good. It's very well done, though. I mean, there's no doubt the kids are there all the time.
All right, Dave Pezzo, are you going down to hang out there?
I am. I'm going to go see a little bit of it.
Are you really?
Absolutely. It's just around the corner from our office. So
you work on weekends? You'll be there Friday?
I will be there sometime. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, after I went to Austin. Did I mention I went to Austin, Kevin? I forgot to.
Now, here's something that's interesting.
Yeah.
And I've actually bought this book from this guy. His name's Nathan Berry.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a multimillionaire. He had a startup company, reported $6 million in sales last year, and expects to make more than $8 million. This is from Zach Kyle of The Statesman. He's got 25 employees, including 5 in Boise. He's 26, either works at home or at the District, which is a downtown coffee shop. And basically, he's got this thing called ConvertKit, which is kind of like MailChimp, and basically it helps you manage your email subscribers, or maybe it's like Constant Contact or something of that name.
Right.
But I remember because local publishing house out of Eagle, Aloha Publishing, actually had a book of his. And it was interesting that I knew this guy in Boise, but he's like under the radar. And this is the first time that he has, I guess, come out to light. Now, Jim Stevens of Sandler Sales Trading had him on like 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago. But here's a guy that self-made. Through these online courses and everything else. So much so that coming up, you're going to love this, coming up at the end of the month, he's having Seth Godin, the big-time author, coming down to Jump. Tickets are $5.99 apiece.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you make of that?
I make of it. I'd like to meet the young man. That's really awesome. He's really obviously mover and shaker out there.
Maybe someone who knows him could like send him our way.
Yeah,
I'm a customer of his, and I haven't met him. I bought one of his books, and then he did another one. Get this: the ConvertKit brought in $1,300 per month in October. By July 2015, after landing a few big bloggers as clients, it went to $50,000 a month. By the end of the year, it's at $100,000 a month. And he just talks about how this whole digital economy and everything else is just rolling. I mean, you deal with this all the time.
Yeah, but think of that kind of a ramping. That's kind of a growth rate. I mean, obviously, he's not making any money with 50 employees, but still, that is a crazy growth rate. And that kind of trajectory, he's going to find financing if he needs it. So that's
right. Well, now he's up to $6 million a year, but it's amazing.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. $6 million a year is
this guy dropped out of college.
Yeah,
and now he's rolling.
I'm not sure, Kevin. That you know people that people like that, and it's always easy to pick out a few people out there like a Steve Jobs and
Dave Pezzo,
Bill Gates, and stuff like that.
Dave Pezzo
didn't go to college, but or drop out. But people, there's something about just sitting around waiting until you get out and don't have a degree that these people are chomping at the bit. There's something in their DNA.
I agree with you on that. Not everybody is a Bill Gates or a Steve Jobs.
Right.
And you know, you go back to Gladwell's book, Outlier.
Yeah.
There are other circumstances that allow for their success, particularly Bill Gates.
Particularly Bill Gates is right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
You know, I like this. I like it when I'm absolutely right.
Well, you are. But I know. I think Malcolm Gladwell's The Outliers is a phenomenal. Well, so is David and Goliath. I mean, both of those really spell out what we talk about all the time, Kevin, that people sometimes we see our handicaps as really big challenges when, in fact, they're our advantages. We work around them, and they turn into our advantages. And the same as having all the blessings in life. You don't have it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be successful at all. Not at all.
Yeah, I know all about that. All right. And I'm actually emailing you this article here, Dave Pezzo, to Dave Pezzo at the Pezzo Center, PezzoCenter.com. Back to this big event, though. So if you're into, you know, Seth Godin, Purple Cow and all these best-selling books, they're at Craft and Commerce Conference, the 23rd through the 25th, 300 people at Jump, $5.99 a piece for tickets.
That's a substantial price.
It is. It is.
It's very substantial.
It is. So let's talk a little bit about the future. Here we are talking about ESPN coming, not for football, but for skateboarding. We've got this guy, Nathan Barry, bringing in Seth Godin, another huge get. What is this? How does this entail for us for being a destination? We have the largest ever convention in town this week as well. What does it mean, a wise one?
We have been found. We have been found. Everywhere you go, people know, or at the very least, go, you know, I've never been there, but man, I hear great things about Boise, and people do, and it does mean that now conferences, conventions, these things, we all make these choices, Kevin. I can't travel to every conference, right? I pick which conference, and a lot of times that's going to be determined because I don't want to go to New York City. It's very hard to get around. It's very, very expensive. And you go to other areas. So you have certain ones you don't want to go. Well, if people are like, I don't want to go to Boise, people want to go to Boise. They say, I've heard so much about it. I got to go see this place. So it really is, even if you're in meetings all day, it is a destination you're going to as well.
I have a friend of mine. Not a friend of mine. I used to work for him. And he's a big-time bigwig in Boston, probably rumored to go somewhere else. And he just was talking to me with, you know, very envious of me living in Boise.
Yeah.
But I live in Star. I don't live in Boise. I live with the people.
I
live with the peeps.
Yeah.
Not the same.
We're
people.
Like Orange County, and you're kind of like, you know, out in the out there in the valley. Is that what it is?
I like to be close to Canyon County.
Huh?
I like to be close to Canyon
County. I do too. I like Canyon County.
When's the last time you've been to Canyon County?
I was there last week, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I was. I like Canyon County. Kevin, Canyon County is a heart of our. Of our listeners.
I love Canyon County.
It's the heart of what Idaho is in my mind.
Dave Pezzo, we always appreciate it. Money Matters coming up. Are you coming in Monday, or are you just taking another day, week off or whatever?
I'm not sure yet. I'm going to fly by the seat of my... Right. No, I'll be in Monday.
All right.
Yeah.
Dave, we always appreciate it.
I do appreciate you, Kevin. Thanks.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo, KITO.
Hello, good morning, and thank you for joining us. All right, so what we have, what do we have? We have no way the market can do any good. Because after all, we've got Brexit Part 2, the UK elections. That can't go well. Of course, the Comey testimony, come on, forget about it. That's going to be terrible. Terrible. Everybody's super complacent, aren't they? I mean, they're just laying around out there. We see the VIX, which is some measure of volatility in the market, is hanging around all-time lows. Nothing good can happen. And, of course, now let's add to that the Middle East is on fire again. When hasn't it been? When hasn't there been a problem? But you take that all together, and all the pundits at the beginning of the week, and they were pretty uniform on this. Just really can't do anything right now because too many bad things, probably many bad things, will go wrong and tank it. Well, the UK elections didn't go well. The Comey testimony, it appears to have gone well. I suppose there's some leftists out there that thought that Comey was, you know, did a great job. But the reality is there wasn't any there, just like they'd been saying. There wasn't. That's not a wishful thinking. It's not that it's over. But the big bombshell of him actually coming out and disclosing something that would be an impeachable offense, it's gone. So that one went okay. But the Middle East isn't going well. The VIX just dropped again in spite of all of this going on, meaning we're even more complacent than we were 3 months ago, we were 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Everybody's complacent. It's just stocks are too high. Thousands of points ago, I just beat the same drum. Apparently, like a stopped watch, they get to be right every once in a while. And does that make them right? Of course not. Doesn't make them right at all. Makes them wrong. But I'm sure they do well selling the Doomsday Digest, the gold bug, whatever. Getting people scared is easy to do. And so they scare them, and then they buy inappropriate things, you know, equity-indexed annuities, high commission products that promise things that, you know, everybody's common sense already knows you can't deliver. But we want to believe so much in that guarantee that this will work, that this will protect me. We want to believe that so much that we suspend common sense. Yeah, I want that product that gives me market returns without market risk. Yeah, well, they don't make one. Well, they don't make one. They don't make one. Everybody's common sense knows that. And in times of turmoil, or what feels like turmoil, where there's a hyper-focus on this weirdness in Washington, D.C., whereas the Wall Street Journal points out that these folks are not going to go down. This was a really good editorial a couple weeks ago. A fellow that was just talking about the fact that if Donald Trump can't drain the swamp, it'll never happen because nobody will ever get a chance again. These folks they're going down swinging, and they are going to do everything to sabotage, trying to make changes to their beloved little group. Doesn't matter what that group does to outside people as long as you're in that group. And all these bureaucrats protecting their jobs, protecting their power, they're not going down easy. And they want to kill and destroy the president. And if they succeed in stopping his agenda, stopping some of the reforms, it's their belief, and certainly think it'll be a long time before we ever have an outsider with a shot at draining the swamp. So I hope he's successful. Maybe he'll learn. Maybe he'll stop tweeting as much. All those things that we all continue to hope for. But in spite of all that trying to take him down, the market won't go down. Not in any significant way. As a matter of fact, it just hits new highs every day except Friday this week. New highs. It's astounding the strength. Really astounding the strength. In spite of all the things that people talk about that are wrong. And again, it harkens back, doesn't it, to the day where we weren't magnifying every little thing. I really didn't know, you know, back in the days where you know, some movie star was, you know, vacationing.
didn't really care where Robert Redford was. I was sure he was having a great time, wherever that was. And that's just in everything. Did you see Melania's dress? Did you see the way the president and Melania held hands? Did you see how they looked at each other? Really? This is news. After nothing coming out with Comey, you watch some of the reports.
I thought Comey was just phenomenal. I mean, there's a real FBI guy.
Same people that just absolutely hated him because of Hillary. Same people. Absolutely no shame. And, well, I know I said, but I said, they just flip-flop. No explanation, no shame. No explanation why, instead of reporting news, we make up news. We don't even report news anymore. We don't even pretend to. We don't pretend to be anything except biased. We're not reporters. There's no shame in any of that. And that magnified focus of shameless, one-sided reporting, making stuff up.
My anonymous sources over here say that Donald Trump is actually an alien.
Great. Why don't we get that out in front of that? It's incredible. No checking, doesn't matter if they're wrong. We got it out there. That's what we're going to do. And we lap that up. We lap up that noise. We can't really tone it down because it's always there. You say, what does this have to do with finance? Everything. Everything. This is how you see the world. Your finances. All what's wrong out there and why you needed to hold, you know, just an extra million or something under the mattress. Why should we be buying gold? Shouldn't we have some silver? Heard about a guy, you know, there's a washed up actor out there that's got silver in his, you know, safe. Well, if he does, holy cow. That's where I want to get my financial advice.
Hi, I'm whatever Devane's name is, something Devane. And yeah, you know what? And I've got gold in my safe.
Wow, you're an actor. And you, wow, that's what I want to follow. I wonder, should I send him my blood results? You know, get some medical advice. Probably he played a doctor on TV at some point in time. Because clearly he played a financial expert at some time and should be telling me why I should have gold in my safe. Craziness. But it's constant. Constant negativity. Constant over-reporting. Constant worry. If I get you to worry enough, I can get you to respond. And yet the market keeps rolling. Because fundamentally, things are working. And that's how it works. Corporations making record profits, paying record dividends. The globe is growing. Barely. Should be growing faster. Yes. Hopefully some of Trump's policies will help. It appears that they are. Optimism is improving. Consumer confidence is up. This is all real and looks good down the road, but many problems. We're overtaxed. We're overregulated. It's getting better. But will he succeed in draining the swamp? We shall see. But clearly, they're not going down easy. People love their power. And if you think it's just about politics, it's about everything. It's about everything. It's about your personal control, your taxes, your finances, everything. Everything. So we have got to perceive things right. We've got to think of things at a little higher level look. Are things really that bad? No. What about this? Okay, go a little higher. You see what I mean? The world's beautiful and blue from way up here. If you bring it down real close and look too close, you see a lot of scars, a lot of hurt. Not that that's not real, but will it take out all of this? Because they're after Trump, is that going to ruin his agenda permanently? No. They're going to try. Does it mean nothing will get passed? I don't think so. But is it slowed down? Yes. Does that mean it won't happen? No. Pro-growth, lower taxes, less regulation policies equals more abundance. Period. Period. So even if we don't see a straight line to that, even if it takes time, if we're moving the right direction, then prosperity really is just around the corner. Or continued prosperity is a reality. Not death of the United States. But you wouldn't know that, burying your head in the news every day. I know, we all think we're above that. I can watch pornography all day long and it won't have any effect on me. That's what we think. You really think you can watch financial pornography all day long and make wise investment decisions? I don't either. Many people do that. They're fascinated by news that really doesn't change. You just have to break the cycle, that's all. So watch a little bit, then go away. Go do something happy. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We want your calls. Please give us a call. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso, KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436, that's our number, 580-KIDO. Also, of course, on 107.5 FM, and also available by email at ddave@petsofinancial.net. Tough email address, huh? Dave@petsofinancial.net. Want to hear from you. Thanks again for Jennifer grabbing and doing a phenomenal real estate program last week. That was terrific. It was just great. And Michelle and Debbie were awesome as well. But thank you for doing that. That was great. Off traveling, as you know, to from prior, or you, well, maybe you're just tuning in now. I was in Austin last week. I'm going to talk about in the next hour here building a portfolio in our education segment. What does that mean? You know, I went off to this big speed dating thing. Okay, it was speed dating. What is that? Well, you know, you basically go in my world, right? You go for 30 minutes from one money manager, and then you like change tables, right? So there's about 30 of them. You pick about 20, and you know that you know look kind of sexy to you, and so you go and see them. But what's so powerful about this is these are people that typically you would never come in contact with, never, because they're little small boutiques. You know, one guy was a manager only of high-yield bonds. That's it. And he was there. He didn't have a sales force. It was just him, right? So that's his specialty. Has been in his family for 40 years. So this is how he can pay a fee and get in front of people like me, and there were 30 of us in the you know over this several day period, and then we just rotate around and you go place to place. One guy only did convertible bonds, you know, and so why is that so interesting? Well, I want to talk a little bit about that because it is so interesting. It's fascinating when you stop and you think about it, and you're like, well, that's good. So you went and got like ideas. Well, I have so many ideas I've got to sift through. But when I got to thinking about it, it's not like you're trying to just have ideas. It's ideas to add to portfolios. Big difference. It's not just a, oh, so we need to like sell most of our stuff and move it over into a convertible bonds because that looked really cool. Not at all. Question is, and also some of these things, as you're building a portfolio, they're things you kind of put on the shelf. Okay? See, high-yield bonds to me right now, they're still kind of attractive compared to treasuries, but man, historically, they're not very attractive right now. It's time to be peeling those back, right? And I know the managers will tell you, you know, we got to be careful and we're very selective and blah, 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 right? If the high-yield market doesn't do as well going forward, all high-yield bonds won't do as well. So you might say, no, that's an example. No, but let me put it over here and remember, okay? Because there's a couple times about every 10 years, and this doesn't work like a clock, but there are a couple of little, if you will, slowdowns, economic crises, not necessarily the big ones like 2008. That was big. That was an easy one. That was a layup. Got to buy high-yield bonds or the world is ending. And they did go up 55% in 2009, believe it or not. So you do have those. They're kind of on the shelf. And then when the time is right, meaning the prices are right, you look at the shelf and you go, yeah, that sector it's good timing, right? Is it time for financial stocks? You know, these are the kinds of things you want to ask. And it's not an all or none. So we're going to talk a little bit about how do you build a portfolio? What does that look like? And when you go to a conference like this, what are you looking for? Are you looking for replacement parts? Sometimes. Are you looking for add-ons? All the time. You're always looking for some little niche that you think might have value, but most importantly, might add value to a basic core portfolio. We tend to overthink these things so much. But building a portfolio, and if you have a solid portfolio, it's very important. You really shouldn't be wavering. You don't have to worry about the UK elections, the French elections, Donald Trump, Comey, the liberal press. You heard about blah, blah, blah. Some famous actor thinks you need to own silver. Groovy. You know, the rock star thinks you ought to smoke pot. Start doing that. For gosh sakes. Where do you get your... never mind. Anyway, we're going to talk about building a portfolio next.
There are amazing teachers in Idaho. At CapEd Credit Union, we see requests for many creative and impactful projects designed to help tomorrow's leaders. Sadly, these projects don't always happen. The funds just aren't available. You can help by visiting weloveteachers.org to support enterprising teachers. On weloveteachers.org, you can see what local teachers need in our community and give to the projects that inspire you. Once a local project is fully funded, you'll then get to see how your donation was used and how the students benefited. In fact, the students will send you notes they've written to show their appreciation for your generosity. Many area businesses are already helping local teachers by partnering with CapEd Credit Union. Cable One, Master Rooter Plumbing, Tate's Rents, and Volkswagen Audi of Boise are just a few of the local businesses who champion WeLoveTeachers.org. Add your business to the list of organizations that support education. Helping Idaho students realize their dreams is a passion we all share. Visit WeLoveTeachers.org and join the caring businesses who love Idaho teachers.
If you're looking to buy or sell your home, you don't want to get stuck in a dead-end real estate deal. That's why you should call the team at Core Group. Tom Dahlman and his team will help you get the most for your home. The team at Core Group knows that the way real estate buys and sells has really changed dramatically in the past 5 years. And they want to show you what's on the cutting edge. Tom and Dinah in Emmett, they received an offer before the home was even listed with MLS. The offer was $1,500 over the asking price. Ask Core Group Realty about the 59-day listing program or the Love It or Leave It deal. Call 933-7777 or go to coregrouprealty.com, 933-7777. And there's never an obligation to work with Core Group Realty. Call 933-7777 today. Find out why they say you get more with Core.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two upcoming, and of course, well, I'm Dave Pezzo. These are my opinions, and my opinions only. We're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. We're not here to sell you an annuity. We're not here to sell you anything except, hopefully, to learn. And to want to learn, to grow, to, if you will, try to make a very complicated world a little more clear. We all get caught up in our own vernacular and our own industries and talk about things. I run into this with my girlfriend all the time. She's a nurse, and so it's like, you know, well, we had this guy come in with a femur thing and whatever it is. Now, of course, I know a femur, but it should name it like another bone. And it's like, sorry, hold on. I have time out. We all do that, right? In our industry, we go like PE ratios and, you know, and price to sales is just ridiculous. It's off the charts. We've never seen anything like this. We need to go to, you know, the old So we're going to go back and do the over the last 10 years. No, we're not. That's fine. Or the dividend yield's too high. Or interest rate's going up. Those are all guesses. Guessing. So I'm going to talk about building a portfolio like the real deal. As I mentioned before in the last hour, I was off this past week in Austin, Texas. Basically speed dating for money managers. Yeah, he's 30 minutes at one table, 30 minutes at another. And these guys have no way to get out to people. So like 30 RIAs, me, people like me, and there's 40 different managers. And they bring their sales guy in, and they bring one of the money managers in. Because they're very small, very specialized. And you may not want to use them. You look at them, you hear them, but 30 minutes, you can have a good idea if you need to know more. Why do I do that? It's a grinding couple of days. It really is. Long ways to fly to grind for a couple of days. Very long days. And the answer is you're looking for some portfolio ideas. And it got me thinking, people don't even know what you talk about when you say portfolio. What is a portfolio? Like it's stocks. Is it stocks and like bonds? If you even understand what bonds are, do you? No. You've heard the term. Do you know what a stock really is? No, but you've heard the term. Do you know what mutual funds do? But assuming you know some of that, now let's take a look at building a portfolio. What does that look like? Well, a core portfolio, what you should be having are your core, high-quality, goals-oriented stuff. Here's where people go wrong. I mean really wrong. They build a portfolio by the seat of their pants. They don't have a plan. If they were to say something, because you're supposed to articulate what your plan is, they'll make something up. So why did you buy that CD? Well, because the world is ending. Okay, that's a prediction. Not a portfolio, not a plan. What is a plan for your portfolio? Well, I want it to grow a little bit. Okay, so you bought a CD that guarantees it won't grow. Well, just for a minute, temporary, you know, while Brexit's going on or Trump's being impeached. You know what I mean? Just being conservative. What's the goal? Perhaps it's income for life. Growing my asset base till it's enough that it provide income for life. When we start with what we're trying to do, it can take away a lot of that noise. It won't take it all away. I mean, we're human beings. So we do really stupid things all of the time. It's in our DNA. Oh, well, I think I should. Well, you're probably wrong. Go ahead. Go do that. It won't end well, but you'll hopefully learn. It's what we do all the time. So, well, I was reading this. I was blogging on this. I heard about that and blah, 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 blah. I got it. How does it fit in your portfolio? Because once you construct a quality portfolio that is matching your goals, then everything else you do is working around the edges. It's not guessing the market. You stop doing nonsensical things. You make far fewer mistakes because you're trapped, if you will, with the bulk of your assets, not being stupid. You're not guessing the market, which you can't. Well, I read about this guy over here that got, you know, like 2008, right? How's he doing? Well, we've been, you know, holding gold since then. Groovy. Market's at all-time highs. What are they saying now? You know that the world's ending? Yeah, they always do. You notice that? World is always ending. Why do you read them? You see, when you have a core portfolio, you actually build a portfolio of high-quality positions. You change the whole dynamic of your own lunacy. It stops you because this portfolio has a goal. I want to provide cost of living income all the days of my life, no matter how long I live. That's your goal, maybe, in retirement. Probably is in retirement. I'd say that's a goal for most people. If my goal included, you know, I'd like to leave some money for kids, but that's not important, then we're focused on what? Cost of living adjusted income all the days of my life, no matter how long I live. That's the goal, and that's where you build the portfolio. We don't then fly around and go, you know, I heard small caps are really good. What do you think? I think they're a fine part of your portfolio. Well, and I read that small caps are really in trouble. They're like really overpriced, and so do you think we should get rid of them? They're a small part of your portfolio. They're okay in there. Okay. What do you think about like energy now that Donald Trump's president? Well, you got to understand a couple of different things here. We can add energy, but you already own it, right? It's part of your core quality piece. But understand this. Allowing more drilling is going to lower prices, increasing supply and lower prices. I'm not sure it's really all that good of news for the drillers. I guess great news for us, right, as an economy and, you know, availability of energy and as a nation and revenues and growth. That's awesome. But you already own some. Okay. You see, it tempers that, doesn't it? That ooh, I saw this thing over here. It's okay. You've got a core that keeps you in the core of quality, dividend paying, dividend increasing, stocks, globally. You build that portfolio. That's how you build a portfolio. Start with the goal in mind. Start with the end in mind, right? I want growth of income. Build a growth in income. Now, there are big modifications like right now. When we live in a zero interest rate world, how can we add bonds to a portfolio and still have our objective of a reasonable return? The answer is you can't. Whoa. Now what do we do? This is where you have to, again, say what is our objective? Cost of living adjusted income all the days of our life. What's the best provider of that? Well, that would be dividend paying stocks. But they're really volatile and they bounce up and down. I know. But you know what isn't? The dividends are. The income's not. See, if you're designing a portfolio for your objective, rather than just willy-nilly, I'm really worried I'm going to go to the sidelines. I'm going to park over here. I'm going to go. You start doing that, you're not building a portfolio at all. Your market timing, you're playing a guessing game, and you will have, I promise you, horrific results. And you will live a life of stress. Very stressful. That's really hard to try to get it right all the time. You are human. That's a lot of pressure. I got to always be right. Always, you know, zigging, zagging here and there. I got to stay on top of things. And you won't be right. So by building a portfolio, it keeps us in our seat. It keeps our goals, our objective of our portfolio in mind, front and center. So that when we feel tempted by the drumbeat of negativity in the world, and it's constant. There's always, you know, markets at all-time highs, but fill in the blank. It's always bad. It's always bad all the time. Just fill in the blank. You got your whole list of things, but analysts are really concerned about, name it, interest rates, the Federal Reserve, Donald Trump, the liberals, the nut job politicians that won't stop talking about impeachment, Brexit. They're worried about the Chinese debt time bomb. On and on. Oh, I mean, forget about it. It could be the polar bears they're worried about. It just goes on and on. It's all negative all the time in a more and more abundant world. That's the weird part, right? So you think you're above it. We're not. So the only way to stay in touch with it is to have goals. Here's my goal. This is what I'm trying to do. And I'm not going to fuss about the world. The world's fussy anyway. You start with balance. You start with a quality portfolio, core positions. And then you can go off to a speed dating thing and hear about stuff over here that can help solve the problem. This is what I'm looking for and did look for. More ideas about how to provide income in a zero interest world where I don't want to buy 2% 10-year treasuries. I can't. I can't and hit the objective for my clients. Can't do it. Are there other ideas? Non-market moving things. Do convertible bonds fit that category? What about you, Mr. High Yield Guy? What kind of thing do you have over here? You know, what about private equity? All these things that you can put a little chunk here and there. But these are not all or none decisions. And some of those things you're just able to put up on the shelf for the someday. Yeah, you know, the way the credit spreads have moved, interest rates, the concerns, it looks to me like maybe it's time to add a few high-yield bonds. I really liked what this guy said a couple years ago. Let's go ahead and check back into that one. That's how you build a portfolio, and you have ammunition. You've got different weapons on the wall. They're not all in play right now. But it doesn't take away. You've got to have a portfolio with your goal in mind. Because then, if you don't, you just simply deviate and bounce back and forth. How's it going for everybody out there that's just so smart? They know all the problems. They've been waiting it out in cash and gold. How's that been going? Waiting for the great end so we can be right. Because by God, we got to be right. World's ending. That's what catches these folks. It's just this constant trying to figure out the future, which you can't. Markets will be, you can write this down because I do know the future. Markets will rise and fall and rise again. The world will become more abundant. People will live longer, healthier, and once again, I want to reiterate, more abundant lives. And corporations will come up with new stuff that we think we got to have. And the old stuff we want more of. And they will be profitable, generous with dividends, and produce income for the holders of their stocks. That's the future. That's always been the future. And when we build portfolios, we're more likely to be able to hang on to that than to play some kind of weird roulette game. Oh, and it's okay because you're so intellectually smart. I get it. We're so super smart. We know what's going to happen, don't we? If we do that, then when we get smart, we're doing it around the edges. If we have a real portfolio based on our objectives, we won't waver when some washed-up actor tells us, yeah, I've got silver in my safe. Really? You played what? In a show once. God, or it's the snake oil salesman, Chuck Willery. I can't wait till he starts pimping gold. I'm sure he will. He pimps magic light thingies to flash on your knees so you don't have to have a knee surgery. I believe everything he says because, you know, it's great. Snake oil salesman. Perfect.
That's what I want to be known as, you know? Famous game show host. Now I'm a snake oil salesman. Perfect.
We listen to this crap because it sells. Or they wouldn't actually hire boneheads and pay them massive amounts of money to tell you flashy light things will make your knee okay.
Or that they have silver in their safe. Woohoo! I didn't know the actors were experts at precious metals.
Look, if you build a portfolio, these morons come on. And you don't have, and they have no effect on you. Don't think we're above it. We're not. This is financial pornography, and you cannot watch it all day long. You can't read it all day long. You can't rise above it. And all you have to do is look at what you've done with your portfolio since 2008. What have you done? Did you sell? Did you hold back? Did you not buy in? Did you go ahead and step to the side with Europe meltdown part one, two, three? Or Brexit? Or any of the others that were ending the world? Remember blood moons and Shemitahs? Seriously, I know. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. True story, though. Okay? Well, you caught up in that. Build a portfolio. Stay with it. If you want to play, you play around the fringes.
Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Jim, hang on. We'll grab you on the other side.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso, KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. If you want to join us now, of course, it's 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, it's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We always prefer the phone calls, of course. We take those as a priority. But also, that I know there's people out there listening to this on podcast later and time's not right, but you might have a question. Shoot that over to PetsoFinancial.com. And also, we've got calculators, articles, as well as podcasts there. So check it out. Let's go to Jim. Jim, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Hey, good, Jim. I got this silly cold, though. I can't believe it.
Well, with this weird weather, that's not all that unsurprising or surprising.
I know. Travel and all that stuff, and, you know, other than, you know, all the abuse I gave myself down there. I didn't sleep very good. That probably threw me.
So how was the weather in Austin, Texas?
Oh, my gosh. It's so muggy. First day I went there, you know, and I like to go and kind of explore the area. The best way to do that is go for a run. And also, it kind of, you know what I mean, it kind of gets you out, right?
Well, I went to college in at their arch enemy, College Station, so.
Oh.
I knew something about humidity.
Yeah.
But I wanted to add to your theory, your theme, and expand it.
Okay?
I'm pretty sure in the Bible it says, thou shalt have life and have it more abundantly. Probably God and or Jesus was not necessarily talking about material wealth, but if you add to material wealth, mental and spiritual, mm-hmm. you know, it's good. The old expression, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man and probably a woman mm-hmm. healthy, wealthy, and wise. And wealth is only one third of that.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to mention that, you know, it's mentioned other places about being abundant, but not necessarily just materially.
Absolutely. No, it's a very fair point. It certainly is. So, I think that's also true, though, when we view life as abundant rather than scarce, it changes our perception of everything, which changes our relationships with other people.
The glass half full versus empty.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also the idea that that everything is... there's a certain limit on everything. Rather than just by abundance, it becomes more plentiful. The idea that the pie is only so big is the fallacy. If we allow growth to happen and occur and freedom
to occur and freedom to create due to the fact that maybe you make a lot of money doesn't mean it's a sum-zero game. It means everybody is drug along to a certain degree by your great innovation and technology.
Well,
you know
what's interesting is, you know, Einstein's theory, E equals MC squared?
Yep.
Pretty much, it's kind of like, well, also the expression, for each action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Sure.
So those things, it's kind of like, then you come up with, you can create wealth. It's kind of like anathema or something. It's kind of like, how is this done, you know? And but then you have, then the problem, too, is the wealthy, well, the old expression, it takes money to make money. The wealthier get wealthier and all that. And then you have a big social problem.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you can, but at the same time, it's all about how we perceive it. I mean, people in the United States, for example, perceive that they don't have it very good in many cases. And that just is a wrong perception. We're very abundant here. We're very wealthy, wealthiest ever, even other than the billionaires. I mean, it's a pretty crazy thing, and I know that there's certain things we want to do, that the average household is not growing their wages and things like that. I totally get it. But to look around and not be admiring how easy it is to find good health care, how easy it is to get online and find the answers to anything with your cell phone. These are really amazing things, and they also make us more productive. I just wish they'd make us happier.
Well, you know, as you noticed, I love these tried-and-true expressions. I picked up a lot from my grandparents, and, you know, and I love these things. And it's kind of like the best things in life are free, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can go down to the library, rent a book, and use your own imagination. You don't have not rent a book, borrow a book.
Yep.
And use your own imagination. You know, you don't have to be miserable if you don't have a damn cell phone.
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true.
Anyway, words of inspiration.
I love it, Jim.
Hope somebody else calls in.
I do, too. Thanks, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Take care. And our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. I've got to take a quick break. Our board is clear. You prefer email, it's dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo, KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us out. Please do so on the phone at 580-KIDO. Thanks again for joining us on 107.5 as well. It's exciting. It's exciting to be on the FM side, you know. And thanks for putting up with my little stupid summer cold here. Makes you feel weak, doesn't it? I'm just like I'm way more of a man than letting a cold in the middle of summer get me down. But it's, man. Thought that was a winter thing, right? We're supposed to be over that. By the way, it's dave@petzofinancial.net if you prefer email. Speaking of which, hi, Dave. I received a nice dividend for a European stock, and they immediately took 30% of it away for taxes. Is there any way to get this back, or is it gone? Thanks, Joe. Joe, good question. Great question, as a matter of fact. The answer is it comes back in the form of a tax credit, a foreign tax credit, which should be reported by your brokerage account, your 1099, that you'll get early next year, okay? And so you do. You don't have to pay taxes in a foreign country and in the U.S., okay? You have to pay. You'll get credit for that tax, but the answer is if it's in an IRA, yeah, you lost it, okay? That's just part of it, the taxes, the dividends, and what have you. But if it's a non-qualified account, you'll be able to get that tax credit back, okay? What you paid will be a credit against what you're going to pay in the U.S. Okay? I hope that helps. And here's another one, though, from Michael. Dave, you mentioned private equity in the education segment in passing. Could you explain briefly what that is and the pluses and minuses? Great question as well. Private equity, I'm going to lump this in to a big category. It's because private equity we often think of as people coming in to small businesses. It's all about growth, and that's all they do. Buyout firms like KKR and things like that, they're in that space. And they'll do a lot of startups, and it may be they hold the company for 5 or 10 years before they go public. But there's also many of them out there that I kind of lump in that space. It's not really private equity. But the structure is like a REIT, real estate investment trust. They're more structured this way so that all of the income is paid out. And that income is often nothing more than all of the returns minus any management fee that they're getting off of, let's say they do loans, higher risk loans. Let's say you're trying to get a real estate loan and you don't quite qualify on this new skyscraper. You need a mezzanine loan, it's a layered loans while you're trying to do the construction. Not enough, quite enough equity to make the bankers all happy. So you're willing to pay 10, 12%, maybe more. And after careful analysis, they feel that that's still going to be a viable project, and they loan the money. That return from that flows through, so they can have very high returns. There is obviously a much more risk. But it's what they do. So if you find companies that are in this space, and when I say private equity, they could be a pure private equity company like KKR, where they're not really trading in private stocks. But when they sell things off, they sell off chunks, or it does go public, or they just have income from a privately held business that they're not ready to sell yet, that flows through as well. So those dividends are where in this world, and they don't have high correlation to the stock market. Higher because they're traded stocks, but private equity in one sense is you, again, this is not available to most people because it may take $1 million or 2 million or 5 or 10 to get into a separate bucket. And that money's locked up for 5 or 10 years, locked up. But what they have now and what I saw a lot of in Austin, right, were these little private equity or access to them where, well, we were using, KKR is doing this and we bought a sleeve of it and that. Now, the fees are going to be a little higher than a private equity, but it's not locked up for 10 years. And you're able to come and go by basically buying that fund. And so it is a whole world is opening up to all people, and costs are collapsing in this space. And so we're seeing some really interesting things that are not high correlation with the market. High correlation, again, throwing out big terms, stop, time out. What does that mean? It means it doesn't move with everything else in your portfolio, which is exactly what I need as a portfolio manager, especially if you want income for life. I need to find something that didn't go crashing down when you need income. So we need to have these different things, and we need to have high income things. They may not be for growth, but if I can get a fund, a private equity manager, again, lumping it together, okay, that's returning 8 or 10%. I don't care about growth, do I? Because I need that reining in, especially in an income portfolio. I need that coming in. And by the way, when you look at some of those and you dividend reinvest for the last 5 or 10 years, whew, so even growth can use them too, okay? But it's a different picture of how can I find a bond substitute in a zero interest world. How do I do that? How do I manage money for income in a zero interest world? So you see, we're trying to think outside the box, and the whole industry is figuring out ways now to take private equity, big loans, okay? Not because they are really separate things, but big loans, maybe higher risk loans, package them all together, and be able to have a flow through with high income. Excuse me. Which is really the objective in an income-based portfolio, right? So as we work our way through this and we think about building a portfolio and you add little levels like this, it can generate tremendous amounts of income and diminish the risk of the portfolio. And if you will, diminish the demand on the market to be going up all the time if I'm pulling income, because I'm generating a lot of income. So the reservoir is not draining that fast. I don't have to have the market up all the time because I'm selling stocks all the time to turn it into cash to produce income. So when we're thinking of where we're getting income from, these are some of the alternative sources that don't necessarily move with the market. Anyway, they don't move as much. So hopefully that answers your questions, but I was lumping that all together. Fascinating area, growing area where people are accessing private equity, but they're doing it now with mutual funds. It makes it very low cost and accessible to the average Joe. To the average Joe. Because as we talked earlier, you know, some of the stuff isn't available. The rich do get richer because some of the things are only available if you have a couple million bucks. But guess what? Bernie Madoff ripped off the rich, not the poor. There's lots of that out there, too. Lots of that. Lots of that. But it's true. You do have to have capital. You got to build up capital. That's why life freedom comes from having savings. You can change a job. You can start that business. You can leave that really crappy relationship. If you have some money and you're not trapped, that's freedom. That's freedom. Big freedom. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Michael, thank you for the email. Great question. If I didn't fully answer that, follow up with another one, and we'll try to get her done before today's program's done. We've got to take our final break. Listen, give us a call. We've got like a 12-minute segment coming up after this break. And I want to talk with you. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO, that is our number. And while we're ringing up... there's a caller on. I just wanted to kind of go back and talk about this and keeping us centered, okay? Building portfolios keeps you centered. I know that's hard. That's really hard to stay centered. Don't think it isn't. Goal-based, centered. That helps you not run when you're scared, not jump when you're greedy, not get bad information or even good information and take it to an extreme where it can really hurt you. It's important to have goals-based portfolios in place. Everything else is just noise. What you want, what you're trying to do, and it helps diminish the terror of this. It is terrifying. All the noise. Market's going to tank if Donald Trump's elected. Oops. Market's going to tank in Brexit. Oops. Greece, part 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's all over. The pigs nations, we're all going down. All that. When the Federal Reserve leaves. All wrong. But boy, was that scary, right? Takes people out. Build those portfolios. Build them. Build them. Let's go and go to the phones. Hello. It's just, I don't know your name.
Richard?
Richard, thank you. Thank you. We've got a new board op. He forgot to write your name down because I know it's not Meridian. You're from Meridian.
Yeah.
All right, Richard, go right ahead.
I have a question about how do you put a value on a pension plan? As far as personal pension is with relationship to your portfolio.
Okay, let's. That's a great point, but let me try to dig deeper. Why do you want an actual value on it first?
Well, as I'm putting it into my portfolio to see if how that compares to the other investments I've already got in there, as to whether I get more aggressive in the other things that are. Going to be supplying the income or, you know, to answer those questions as to where I'm at, I guess, to kind of feel my way.
Well, there's a couple of different ways. First of all, I think you're on the right track because what you want to do is you want to capture this thought process. And don't forget about Social Security, same thing. It's a pension. Okay?
Right.
So, but also in this low interest rate world, I will circle back to this point. There are many pensions that allow you to take a lump sum withdrawal and invest it yourself.
Mine
does pension. Okay. What's, does yours do that?
Only if it's under $5,000.
Gotcha. So you can't do that anyway, but here's my point to that. What this bucket, the value of this bucket is all fixed, guaranteed, low interest money. You don't, when you, when, no matter what you do between your pension and Social Security, unless you have millions of other dollars, half or more of all of your actual portfolio, even if you threw it all in stocks, 100%, would be over 50% fixed guaranteed. You can't take enough risk on the other side to actually balance that. So you have to accept that as you're looking at your asset allocation pie chart, you're going to be overdone and fixed. You always will be. That's all it is. But I think that's an important point because we've seen person after person capture the wrong perspective when they come in and look at it, right? They look at it and they go, man, I am really worried about the $200,000 I've got in my 401k. Well, why? Well, you know, it just, it's like it's up and down. And now that I'm getting into retirement, shouldn't I be taking less risk? Well, are you using this money? No, we've got $8,000 a month in pensions coming in. Then no matter what you do, 90% of your money is pension, fixed. You can buy penny stocks and not diminish or increase the risk much in this portfolio. Not recommending that, of course. But you see, the point is that people get hung up on the one little piece that they can control rather than building a portfolio with it and not worrying about it. You're in a fantastic position with pensions. Just build yourself a portfolio from there and just, you know, dividend paying stocks. And you don't care what the rest of your portfolio goes up and down in value. You're just looking for a little extra income because the pension isn't growing income typically. Certainly not keeping up with the cost of living typically. And you'll want some increasing income from your other portfolio. But to put it in there and now bring it back to what you're saying, if I'm getting $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year, I would multiply that by 5%, and that's your value, all in the fixed bucket. Not multiply, okay. Divide it. That's the value.
And the same way on Social Security as you were talking?
Exactly. And when you measure that, it should give you a great deal of peace about whatever the world is telling you you ought to be doing with those really risky stocks you own with the tiny part of your portfolio. It's, we just don't see it clearly. We worry and fuss over little tiny pieces, even if the big piece is taken care of.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it, Richard. And our number is 580-5436 if you have a quick question before we wind up today. All right, had a quick one, a quick email question here. And I'm not sure if we're going to, no, I know we're not going to get fully to it because we've talked about this many times. So I'm going to put it down. I've got actually two email questions here. One regarding the choices you make in a 401k. Doesn't the employer make those for you? And why do I have to be involved in that? Why can't I just trust the employer to make those choices? You can't. Period. We'll talk about that next week. Sorry, don't have time for that one. But I want to talk about that because that is a very common thought, a very common and incorrect thought. We need to work on that. And so we'll talk about that. The second one is active versus passive, really, right? Index investing versus active investing. Shouldn't I be doing that? Shouldn't I be doing, or should I do both? Okay? Thanks from a loyal listener. I'll touch on that, but I want to do justice to it. So we will deal with active versus index investing, as we have many times. I'll deal with that next week, but I can't do it in 1 minute. So let's hope we can do it in about 2 minutes here with Doug. Doug, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Dave had a financial advisor for about 14 years. Has changed his employer at least three times, one of them pretty recent, and I'm getting tired of it. Yep. And wondering how do I go about finding another advisor or what to do.
First of all, you're on to something. Changing three times is a bad sign, a really, really bad sign. Okay? I would also go to broker check if you're doubting that and see if there's any complaints or what's going on. Broker check is through the FINRA, FINRA.org.
Right.
Type in their name. Okay? See if there's problems. But three times, that's not good. Okay? I've changed three times in 35 years. Okay?
Yes.
Once when I went out on my own and once when we went basically RIA only. Okay? Meaning we just changed our business plan totally here in 16 and said we're just going to do fee-based business. Okay? So that's not normal. You're right. How do you find one? Well, what you do is you do need to do a little bit of homework and ask people in the area, who do you think, what do you think, interview two or three, make sure they're certified financial planners, make sure they're not new to the area, right? You don't need to find out later that they moved from problems in California to Idaho, although you should be able to track it, okay?
Right, got it.
Okay.
And what was that website you were talking about?
FINRA.org, F-I-N-R-A.
Okay, all right. And then I can just put in names and check them.
You put in the names. That's a routine check. But I also think you need to go interview, find out. And, you know, the other thing is you're going to be able to find out. How, are you new to the area?
No.
Okay. Okay. Then you know the players in town. Go ahead and, you know, interview a couple of them and then, you know, and find out if they're on the same page with you. Okay?
Right. Got it.
And you can trust your instinct. Let them look at what you've got going on. Find out what your goals are and see how you feel about how your interaction is, because your instinct's going to be pretty good, assuming. I just don't want to hear you just like we always do on, you know, on whatever, I can't think, Greed and American Greed, right? Well, he was such a nice guy. Yeah, he was. That's what crooks are. They're nice. So you want to make sure we do the background check too, right? So, but trust your instincts, and you're already trusting them to say, I'm tired of it. Three times in your three strikes, you're out. I agree with you.
Perfect, Davis. That's the kind of input I was looking for. Thanks for your help.
You bet, Doug. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Have a great weekend. Thanks. Bye-bye.
See you, bye.
And our number is, well, forget it. Our number is nothing because we're all almost out of time here. If you have any comments, questions, please do shoot those over to PetsoFinancial.com. That's our website. We've got podcasts there. We've also got calculators and articles to help you with your own financial planning. I hope you all had a great weekend. Shoot your emails over. I'd love to visit with you all week long. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy it. It's supposed to be nice weather. We'll talk to you next week.